everybody. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you today in worship. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the word that we get to study today as a church body. We thank you for our freedom and all the love that you give us. Please heal anyone that needs healing and give guidance and knowledge to anyone that seeks it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Randy, welcome to the new class.
Thank you.
I've been teaching Greek and Hebrew for over 40 years. And I wouldn't teach it at all if it wasn't so important to study the Bible from the original languages. We start a new class every now and then. And I usually have a student get up and introduce the class to them. And I don't know whether one of you want to do it or not. Sharon, would you like to get up and say a word or two, what you've learned and a little bit? Yeah, what you've learned and what it's meant to you. From you've taken a little Greek and Hebrew from me for a couple of years now.
Well, I've taken three classes.
Yeah. Well, if you were in my Hebrew, you got Greek.
Oh, yes.
Well, I didn't know what to expect. It's always been on like my bucket list to study the original languages of the Bible, but I just never had the opportunity before now, and so I guess it's been about a year and a half maybe. I came into the Hebrew class and I was just astounded by what the real words mean, what the foundation is. It's just so much clearer. It's so much richer. It's so much, it's like, I don't know, it's like you have a little grainy watercolor, but just in black and white image of something, then you have something in full color drama. I mean, it just fills it out so much more. My understanding is so much more complete, and I'm really excited to continue this, even though, I come and I don't, study between times, but I just sort of let it wash over me, and if it's going to absorb, it's going to absorb, and it's amazing what does. I guess that's...
Mike, Sharon, any of you? Cindy? Roger? Nope. All right.
We're very outgoing group.
Yeah. They get camera shy. You know, people are more afraid of getting up and doing public speaking than they are of dying. Now, this is the worst frightening thing in the world. All right.
I think without getting up there, the thing that I like the most about those, talking about the original language, is the clarity and the depth of the Bible. Because there's such deep, deep meaning in here that you don't know when you just read the words. And pretty much everything in the Bible pertains to something else. It's just like this web of stuff that's
a puzzle
linked together through the whole Bible. And I can't pronounce any of it, but it's amazing.
You don't have to learn Greek and you don't have to learn Hebrew. You will learn what the Bible means. And unless you learn Greek and Hebrew, you really won't ever really know what the Bible means. You can get saved and you can know the Lord. But the Bible from Greek and Hebrew will build a foundation under you that nothing in this world can disturb. No cult, no ism. And if you study the Gospel of John from the original language, the first chapter of the Gospel of John, no Jehovah Witness can ever withstand the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Not the first 20 verses. If you went with any Jehovah's Witness and studied the first 20 verses of the Gospel of John, he would be either converted or run, one or the other, if you go from the original language. And we're in the trilogy of Dynamite right now. I told you that looking in the Gospel of John is like opening the door to heaven itself. And I think that we're in the third class. And I think, as you've looked at this, has it opened heaven? It is just unbelievable. Has the foundation of your faith, do you know who Jesus is? Yeah, you know who Jesus is when you look at the first chapter. The first 14 verses of the Gospel of John will completely reinforce your foundation in the Christian faith more than any books that you can get. Now, I told you to begin with, you cannot study the Gospel of John unless you know Hebrew. John wrote several books in the New Testament. He wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he wrote the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation had a hard time getting into the what we call a canon of Scripture, because it had so many Hebraisms in it that the Greek scholars, so-called, would not accept it because it had too many mistakes in it. And the Gospel of John is full of Hebraisms, especially the first chapter. It has many Hebraisms throughout the book, but the first chapter is full of Hebraisms. So you have to understand. Now, you've got your little Welcome to Discover the Word with DrJim.com right on the top, okay? If you go there, you can get a lot of information. It's this little thing right here, Brandy. These are the Jehovah titles. I've had several people that were Jehovah Witness converted in my life. And they were all converted from Gospel of John, the first chapter. Because you can't get past it. In the Old Testament, we have the Jehovah titles and the name of God. What does this mean here? It's backwards. What is it? Yeah. Okay. You cannot say this word. That word's impossible to say. The Hebrews, the ancient Hebrews, call this Ha-Vavar. Ha-Vavar. I'll write that down. Ha-Vavar. I could write that in Hebrew, but you wouldn't know it. I can't get my Greek. Want to write it in some other language? All right. This is it. In Hebrew. Okay, Ha-Vavar. That is the what? The Word. When the Jewish people came to the name, the personal name of God, they would either say Ha-Vavar, which I have translated in the interlinear from the Hebrew. By the way, I just brought the book of Exodus and dropped it off on Karen's desk to be printed. The first volume of it. We're going to start that also, okay? And that's going to blow you away. The book of Exodus. When they came to the word of the name of God, this word right here, they would say Ha-Vavar. Or, what was the other term?
Adonai.
Adonai, which means Lord of Lords. All right. And what is the other term? Hashem. Hashem. Shem means name. The name. In other words, the name of God. Ha-Vavar, the Word. Now, John the Apostle. This is the last gospel that was written. Did you know that? Okay. The reason for the writing of the Gospel of John, John believed he was having a lot of trouble with the Gnostics. The Gnostics did not believe that Jesus Christ was a real man. Many of them believed that he was an angel or a spirit. They believed that he died, but he didn't rise from the dead and all of this. And we looked at that also in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, which I'm teaching on Wednesday night. The resurrection is absolutely foundational to the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, you don't have anything. You don't have any hope for eternity or anything else. Okay? But all of it's tied up with the person of God. Okay? The first chapter of the Gospel of John, John introduces us. He takes the doors of heaven and opens it up and said, "Here is your God. Behold your God." This is Him. This is who He is. Now, the Muslim's God is far away. He is a wonderful being that created man, and your good deeds have to outweigh your bad deeds, and you can get into the beatific vision in paradise if they do. Okay? Has nothing to do with the person of God. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus Christ was an angel. Okay? Then he came down out of heaven and took on a form of a human body. Then he died in the grave, but he never rose. The body just disappeared or whatever. That's an impersonal God also. The Mormons think, well, Joseph Smith says that he was a descendant of Jesus Christ. Okay? And that they were gods in eternity, and they just coming into time and space. And every time there's a marriage here, there's a marriage in heaven, and every child that's born here has already been conceived in heaven, and all this stuff, you know, which is Twilight Zone. Okay, simple as that. By the way, that's the hardest people to convert in the world. Jehovah's Witnesses are hard people to convert, but the Mormons are nearly impossible because they don't know who God is. That's the problem. God is so shadowed that they don't know who He is. They don't really know the person of God. Okay? So, John introduces us without a shadow of a doubt who Jesus Christ is. Alright? In the Old Testament, this word Jehovah here, this word Dabar, and then what is this word?
Elohim.
This means Creator God. Jehovah the Creator. Now, Jehovah, the word Jehovah here, now we use that, say that term really easy, don't we? It's not possible to say that name. You can just say Hadabar, or the word, or the name, or Adonai. The modern Jews, when they come to the name Jehovah, they don't say that name at all. They say Adonai. Okay? Adonai. Well, it comes from the Hebrew root, Hayah. All right? Say Hayah. It's like, and Hayah. Hayah. Okay? Now, on page 224, in this book right here, this is Brown, Driver, and Briggs, it's the Hebrew lexicon. And the Hebrew, this is not an analytical Hebrew lexicon. An analytical Hebrew lexicon tells you how the root and the forms of all words. And it will identify what they are and conjugate them and tell you, you know, what this book here does not do that. This book tells you the roots of the word. Page 243, that's Kohler and Baumgartner. Okay? This is Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Brown, Driver, and Briggs. In there, it will tell you that this is a to-be verb. Alright? Now, the name Jehovah, what does the name Jehovah mean? What does the name Jehovah mean? If you literally translated it in English, what would it be? He who shall become. Or the becoming one. He who shall become. All right? Now, I said before, you have to go back to Hebrew to understand what John's writing about, because this is a Hebraism. It is not Greek. It's not the Greek idea of the word. If you go in Greek and you think the word, that was kind of like the Creator God, the first element of creation, the first idea, and all of that, okay? And the Logos. In Genesis, Genesis 1 and 2, this may be redundant to you, but this is very important. In the first chapter of John, many people tie the first chapter of John with the first chapter of the book of Genesis, don't they? Because it says, in King James, it says, in the beginning, I think is what it says in King James, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? In Hebrew, it says, Barashith Bara Elohim Et HaShemayim Ve'et Haaretz. Okay? In one of the beginnings, in Genesis 1 and 1, it says, God completely created and finished and brought to a final product the heavens. Alright, the heavens. Et HaShemayim. Alright? And that term there should be translated the universe, the whole cosmos. And then the earth, and it says, we et Haaretz. The earth. He created all the universe, and then he placed the earth exactly where it should be. And then in Genesis 1 and 2, the very first word there, it says, We ha'aretz, ha'ya. That word ha'ya there is third person feminine. All right, third person feminine. And it means she became. the earth she became. She became tohu wabohu. And then it says, we hoshuk el panay to home. We ruah elohim meropet el panay hamayim. And it says, and the earth became formless and void, and wasteland and darkness were over the faces of the abyss, the tahom. And spirit God, not spirit of God, not whatever, it says spirit God. Who is spirit God? Who is spirit God? That's Holy Spirit. It says spirit God mourned over, brooded over, suffered over the faces of the waters. He suffered over, brooded over, mourned over. Why? Because his beautiful creation had become trashed. All right? Now we find out that God put, he restored the earth. From what the destruction that Satan, if you look up there, Satan's path up here, see this on the chart? Satan's path, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, he said it says that he destroyed the earth. And Ezekiel 28 does the same thing. It tells you about Satan, what he did in eternity past, out there when the earth was originally created. And then it became formless and void. And then God restored the earth and rebuilt the earth. And then he placed a new administrator over the earth. And that new administrator over the earth was Adam. Adam.
No. That's who it was. Adam.
He placed Adam over the earth. And Adam's related to the earth, isn't he? He didn't make him from dirt, by the way. He made him from the same elements that he made the dust of the ground. And he breathed into him the breathings of life. And he made Adam in his image, didn't he? God, in God's image in Genesis 1 and 26. It said he made him in his shadow casting likeness, his blood flowing likeness, and his spiritual likeness. And he breathed into him the breathings of lives. And he became a living nephesh, a living soul. Okay? And then he named all the animals, which were created for his company, for his companionship. And he saw that he wasn't happy because he didn't have a helper worthy of him or like him. So he put Adam in a deep hypnotic trance. That's what it says, hypnose. Our word hypnosis comes from that. He put him in a trance and he took from his blood, and he took from his bone, and he took from his flesh, as it says in Hebrew. And he formed woman. And when man saw woman, he said what? What did he say in Hebrew? My foot track. God made man in his foot track, and God made woman in man's foot track. The woman, the word for woman in Hebrew is Isha, and the word for man is Isha. Adam is the human race, Adam. That's mankind, anthropos in Greek. Okay? Well, they got along pretty good for a while, didn't they? But they didn't have any children or anything else. They were just out there in the paradise, just having a good time, eating whatever they wanted to. They didn't have to go 7-Eleven or anything. It was all on hanging on trees. Okay? Beautiful. Wonderful. But God told him to do what? To guard the garden. To guard the garden. And Adam kind of sloughed off. He didn't do that. Now, according to the book of Jasher, God gave Adam a staff of authority. Now, in the book of Jasher, it says that staff or that rod had a stone on the head of it. And this rod God held in his hand when he created the heavens and the earth. This is the power and the authority that created the heavens and the earth. And he handed that to Adam and says, it is your place to guard the earth. And he was supposed to guard his wife, too, wasn't he? Well, we find out in Genesis, the third chapter, we have a terrible story of man and woman sinning against God and become robbers and thieves and all of that. That's what they became, it says. They became evil. And they sinned. And at the end of Genesis, the third chapter, God says, unless Adam will live forever, I'm going to put the cherubim, the flaming ones, seraphim, in the garden to guard that tree of life. Lest now they eat from the tree of life and live forever in this fallen state. Well, they were unhappy. They were unhappy. And they were unclothed, and God clothed them. God clothed them by killing an animal and taking the skin from the animal and putting it on Adam and Eve. He made their first clothes for them. That's a type of salvation. God, the Holy Spirit going out over the faces of the deep, and God clothing Adam with those skins from those animals is a type of salvation today. There's nothing you can do to be saved. You have to trust in God to save your soul. What you do is repent of your sins and call upon Him and ask Him to save your souls, and you're saved. Now, after this all took place, and then God kind of run them out of the garden, guarded them from the tree of life, Adam gave Eve another name. He changed her name, didn't he? Well, he changed the woman's name to Eve. Eve means what? Life or living. Now, she had given to him the fruit of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, and it said that she gorged herself upon it. She just kept on eating. In Hebrew, it said they just kept on eating this fruit. They didn't eat it once. They just kept on just getting all of it down their neck they could get down. And Adam kept on doing the same thing. They gorged themselves on it. It doesn't say that in English, but it says in Hebrew. They just kept on eating this fruit. They just kept on stealing it off the tree because they were thieves. You know, that wasn't their tree. That's God's tree. Okay? They kept on stealing this fruit and just kept on gorging all they could gorge. Well, in Genesis 3:15, God made a curse and a promise in Genesis 3:15. If I can find it. And God is talking to Jehovah, by the way, is here. This is Jehovah now. Huh? Okay. Jehovah is here. Now, Jehovah is talking to Adam and Eve. And actually, he's talking to Satan through that snake, Nahash. Say Nahash. Nahash. That's the deceiving serpent, Nahash. Okay? He's talking to him, he's talking to the woman, and he's talking to man. Okay? He first approached the man and he said, what have you done? He said, that woman you gave to me and I kept on eating. And then she said what? We know how she on me. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. All right? And then God turns to Satan through the snake. He curses that snake, which is probably the head of the animal kingdom. Okay? He's probably the king of all beasts. But he loaned his body to Lucifer. Okay? And he said unto the serpent, because you have done this, Aurora, cursed you are, and dust you shall eat. Oh, cursed you are from all the cattle above all the cattle and from all the beasts of the field. And upon your belly you shall walk, and in dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And then verse 15 it says, an active hatred I shall place between you and between the woman. All right? The woman. Ha'isha. Between you and between the woman, active hatred. Now, it's prophecy. This is the first prophecy of the Messiah in the Bible. Okay? Now, this is Jehovah God that we're going to find out in Genesis, or John 1 and 1 and John 1, 14 and John 1, 18. This is who he is. He's talking to Adam. And he's talking to the snake here. All right? And Jehovah is the covenant God of Israel, by the way. He's the covenant God. Everybody in the world's got an Elohim, but only Israel and only you have a covenant God. That's the one that's going to be the Messiah and the sacrifice. Okay? I will put active hatred between you and Yuvane, you and between the woman, and between your seed and between her seed. And he shall crush you as to the head, and you shall bruise him as to the heel. In other words, my seed, Jesus Christ, through you, through the woman, is going to overcome your seed, the Antichrist. And he will deal him a death dealing blow, and the Antichrist and Satan and all of them are going to end up in the lake of fire forever. Okay? And then they got the story. All right? And Adam doesn't call her the mother of all dying, but he calls her the mother of all living. Okay? And then Genesis 4 and 1, we have the foundation of John 1 and 1, John 1, 14 and 1, 18. Okay? This is the foundation of it. And if you don't go back there, you don't understand this. All right? 4 and 1 says, and the Adam, the mankind, the man, knew, and actually he said that he had sexual relationships with Eve, his wife, and she took together, she conceived the seed, and she brought forth Et Cain. Say Et Cain. Et Cain. Now, that is a sign of the vex object in Hebrew. And in Greek, it's like this. Okay? This is a sign of direct optics. Something is, there's power going that way. There's force. There's energy going this way. She, it says here, she got Cain. What does Cain mean? Cain. Huh? Gotten. Cain means gotten. I have gotten, so she named him Cain. The land of Cain comes from Cain. 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 That means gotten or begotten. Okay? I have gotten a man, and she said, I have created a man, Et Jehovah. Et Jehovah. I have created man. I have created the Messiah. She believed at that moment that the Messiah of the human race was born. It's Et Jehovah. If it was translated correctly, it would be Jehovah. I have created Jehovah. She thought the Messiah was born. She's about 4,000 years old. Okay? And she really believed that he was born at that time. But he was a disappointment. What they saw in Cain was all of their sin multiplied. Because Cain became a liar and a murderer. And they saw the first child in the human race murdered by its brothers. Okay? Now let's go to John 1:14. Because now the Jehovah title is fulfilled. The first word here in your little name, it says Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Elohim, that's the God, the all-powerful creator God, the covenant God. Jehovah Adonai is the King of Kings, Jehovah the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jehovah Jireh, that is the Lord shall provide, or the Lord shall be seen, and he will be seen here. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our physician, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, Jehovah Tisnakanu, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Makadishken, the Lord our sanctifier, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present or is here. Jehovah El Elyon, the Jehovah God Most High. Jehovah Roy, the Lord my shepherd. Psalm 23 in John, the 10th chapter. Those are scriptures that are just exactly alike. In Psalm 23, it says, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd, David said. In John, the 10th chapter, Jesus said, I am that shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the one that shepherded David. Okay? Jehovah Husanes, the Lord our maker. He's our creator. Psalm 95 and verse 6, and Colossians, the first chapter. And John, the first chapter. Jehovah El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one and the God Almighty. Jehovah Elohat, the Lord my God. El is, of course, Almighty. El Elohi Yisrael, God, the God of Israel. And El Olam, the God of eternity, the God that inhabited eternity. In John 1 it was, it said, in beginning kept on being the Jehovah, or the Word. And he kept on being an inseparable part of God because he kept on being God. He inhabited eternity. All right? And then Emmanuel, God with us, and Jehovah Adonai Ha'adonaim, which means Jehovah, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now let's go to John 1:14. Chi. Ho. Logos. Sarx. Aganeto. Chi. Eskenosin. Himen. Chi. Ethiasamitha. Tain. Doxon. Altu. Doxon. Hos. Monogamous, para, patros, play race, caritos, kai, aletheus. All right. And the word, who's that? Kai is a conjunction. Page 280, if you want to look it up in that analytical lexicon right here. We cross-reference everything to this little old lexicon that was put out by Zondervan in the 1970s. Everything in that book is cross-referenced to this. And the Word, the Jehovah, the fulfillment. Eve, in Genesis 4 and 1, thought she had gotten Jehovah. I'm going to tell you something. Right here, Mary got Jehovah. Mary had Jehovah. All right? Jehovah was born in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Jehovah flesh, sarx. What is the word flesh in Hebrew?
Basar.
Flesh, he became. Now let's look at this word he became. It's in Latin, it's carne, that means flesh. Okay? He became, third person singular, second aorist, indicative middle voice. Second aorist is what? It's punctiliar action, it's sharp action, but it's a little more durative linear than first aorist, which is absolute punctiliar. Why did he use second aorist here? Because it was a period of time, a duration that God became flesh. How long did God become flesh?
33 years.
Huh? 33 and a half years, basically. That God was in a human body, breathing just like you do and eating just like you do. Because he had to be, this is another term very important. What's that word right there that I wrote in Hebrew? That's goel. Goel means what? A relative. A relative. He had to be related to us. Okay? God had to be related to us to redeem us. That's what the law said. Okay? He's our Goel, he's our Redeemer, he's our relation. So when God overshadowed Mary, and the seed of Jehovah was placed in her womb, and I've said this 1,000 times, but it's 1,001 tonight, the woman does not put any blood into the child's body. The woman does not give blood to the child. It's the man that gives blood to the child. As God formed man, as he formed the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the what? The breathings of life and probably blood. Adam. The word Adam
The root of it is blood or red. That's all in that word dom right there.
He breathed in him the breathings of life, and he became a living nephesh. A chaya nephesh. Say chaya nephesh. A living soul. Okay? Before that, he was nothing. He was just born. The woman, the earth, gave man the same elements as the earth gave man form. The woman, because she is related to the earth, gave Jehovah form. Do you understand this? And God put in her blood, His blood. As God breathed in His blood into Adam, okay, he became a living soul, but with a volition. What's volition mean?
Choice.
He could have couldn't. Now, God knew that man was going to sin, didn't he? He knows things before he does it, doesn't he? If he wasn't God, if he wasn't omniscient, he wouldn't be God. I had a man tell me one time, this guy was a preacher. He told me that he didn't believe in predestination and foreordination and all that in the Word of God, that really, that God didn't want to know some things. He just did away with his God. God does know everything. Back in eternity past, he wrote your names in the Lamb's Book of Life because he knew who you were going to be. Who knew? He knew who was going to be born. He didn't make you do that, but he knew what you would do. Okay. Well, Adam had volition, and Adam went the wrong way. And I'm going to tell you something. If you were in that garden, you would go the wrong way. Just like our mama and daddy did. We will go the wrong way. We always go the wrong way. But there is a substitute, and there is a Goel that's going to redeem us. Now, Jesus Christ, when God broke into space and time in the person of Jehovah in the flesh, when he broke into space and time, he was related to mankind. And he had one purpose. Joseph Smith said that Jesus had several wives, and that he brought forth children, and that he was one of the descendants of those children. That's hogwash and blasphemy, by the way. Jesus Christ didn't come here to have one child or 10 children. He came here that he could birth us all again. Again. As John, the 3rd chapter, is going to tell us. He didn't have any children. He didn't plan on having any children. He came here for the purpose of redeeming mankind. He was going to be related to them. He was going to redeem mankind. Because now he's the Goel. He's the Redeemer. He's related to mine. What do you want to say there, Brent?
You mean like when the blood comes from man, it comes from the zygote?
It comes from what?
The zygote? The semen?
It comes from the sperm. In an egg, an egg or an embryo in any animal, the woman or the female has the ovum or the egg. The blood comes from the male. God's blood flowed in Mary's womb. It was not Mary's blood. That was God's blood. And when that child came out, you see, Adam was sinless when he was born, wasn't he? He was sinless. Sinless. Didn't have any sin. But he had a choice. Now, when God became flesh, he was sinless also. And by choice, he did not sin. He was capable of it, but he didn't do that. Simple as that. He was related to Adam. He was related to Mary. But he did not have Adam's sin nature. Because it didn't. Joseph wasn't his father. He got form from Mary, but not the sin nature from Mary. No woman passes on the sin nature to any child. It's through the father. The blood comes to the father. As in Adam all die, as in the second Adam, as we're studying in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, all are made alive. Okay? Let's go on a little bit further. He became, for himself, God brought himself. Jehovah overshadowed Mary. The one who shall become, the becoming one, overshadowed Mary. He impregnated himself into her, and she brought forth the gotten one. All right, the real gotten one, the one who should become. And the Word and the flesh are the Word, are the Jehovah. If you write Jehovah there, that is exactly, perfectly, exactly what it means. That's a Hebraism. And the Word Jehovah are the Jehovah flesh He became for Himself. He brought Himself into the world. And that's a conjunction there, and that's putting several sentences in here. And He pitched His tent. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. He pitched His tent. Literally, He tabernacled or pitched His tent. Now, back over here in the Old Testament period of time, that thing up there is a tabernacle. And God said He wanted Moses to build a tabernacle because He wanted to what? He wanted to dwell with His people. That was a type of Jesus. That tabernacle was a type of Jesus. Everything in it was a type of Jesus. Okay? What He was going to become. The boards. Boards are made out of what, usually?
Wood.
Wood is a type of humanity in the Bible. Gold is a type of what? Deity. Those boards were boards, but the boards were covered, completely covered with pure gold. In other words, He was man and He was God. And they stood on silver sockets. Which is silver stands for what in the Bible?
Redemption.
That tabernacle is a type of Jehovah, a type of Jesus, but it's also a type of us. Because, see, we are wood, aren't we? We are human. And if we are saved, we're covered by the blood deity. When God looks at us, He looks at deity. He looks at pure gold. He looks at something that's redeemed. What you've been saved. And the white is righteousness. And all of this around there were 48 boards. And then we have the first room is called the holy place. And the second room is called the Holy of Holies, which is a type of heaven itself. Now see, in the Gospel of John, we're opening the doors to heaven. So we get to see our Creator. And we're walking right into the tabernacle because the tabernacle walked among us. He tabernacled among us. He pitched His tent among us, right in the middle of us. And it says, and we beheld, look at that word, estheosametha. And we beheld, first person plural, first aorist, indicative, middle voice, John speaking here, we looked at Him for ourselves. We saw Him. We saw Him. Now the word see there, it comes from theomai. We got a word theater out of that. What do you go to a theater? When you go to a theater? You watch something. And in the old Roman theaters and Greek theaters, they had a stage and a coliseum usually. And around that stage, what was what? The actors were hypocrites. Hypocrites. That's where we get the word hypocrite. Okay? They had different faces. Sometimes one actor would play four or five different parts. That's where you get the word hypocrite from. Hypocrites. All right, that means to underjudge or underact. Okay, around that stage was lots of lights, with reflectors shining all around. There was no shadows. We saw Jesus without a shadow, fully lighted on a fully lighted stage. That's what it says. And we saw the glory of Him on the stage. The guy would put on a costume and everything else, and the glory, shining glory, was man-made shining glory shining on the object. But Jesus is different. He dressed in common clothes. But His glory shone through. Not upon Him, but through Him. Different. That's different now. All right. Can you read through all that hand scratch I have down here? The glory of Him. Out to third person singular, or genitive singular masculine, third person pronoun. That's what it is. Out to. And in Greek, there are eight cases: nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, invocative. But I didn't mean to scare you by saying all that. There's eight cases. And this is the genitive case. And the genitive case is what? That's a case of what? You remember Cindy, Mike, Sharon? Roger, you remember what the genitive case is? That's the case of possession, belonging to, That's the identifier. His name is on it. All right? The glory belonging to Him. The glory belonging to Him. It's His. He is the owner and possessor and the creator of it. The glory as of, the glory as. Look at that word host there. Little adverb, page 444 if you want to write that down. I guess I ought to write it down in mine. The only generated one. The only generated one. Monogenes. The word Genesis comes from that. Genesis. Beginning. The only generated one. Barashith in Hebrew. It comes from Rosh, which means the head or beginning. Okay? The only generated one from beside the Father, full pleroth, that is, pleroth, full of grace and of truth. Grace and truth. Aletheos. Full of grace and truth. Truth means to be absolutely verified. No shadows. Out in the light. Certified out in the light. Looked at completely. When they go and look at you, used to be in the operating room so long time ago, they would have bright lights in the operating room so the surgeons could see what they were doing to the patient, to the object of their operating. And they would have mirrors all over the place. And the doctors used to have... How many of you ever seen the doctor with a mirror on his head? A lot of the old doctors had that. And that light, they would take and shine the light. Jesus was totally inspected with no shadows. No lies any place. And that's in John 1:14. Now, we could go back to Leviticus 25 and 26, talking about the Goel, the kinsman redeemer. We could go into Galatians 4 and 4, Hebrews 2, 1 John 1 and 1, Luke 9:32, Revelation 19:13-16, where it says there that Jesus is Jehovah God of the Old Testament, the Adonai Ha'Adonaiim of the Old Testament, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who this is. I want you to understand that our Creator and our Redeemer are one. And He is so close to us. He's not far away like the Muslim God. That He's so far away and you can't touch Him. And the Jehovah Witnesses look at Him that way too. But God became personal with us. He became related to us. See, our Jehovah, our Creator, came down and lived and wallowed in the mud where we live. So He could pull us out of it. Okay? Hebrews 1:1-4, Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Let's look at that for just a moment. I can't run past all of those Old Testament prophecies and beauties. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. Now, Jesus' brother, James, called Jesus Jehovah Sabaoth. And His Redeemer. I am the what? I am the first and I am the last. And there is no God besides me. And I'm going to tell you something. When you see in eternity, when you see God, you're going to see Jesus Christ. Because that is the only physical God you're ever going to see. You're not ever going to see the Father. You're not going to see the Holy Spirit. The physical image of God is Jesus Christ. In eternity future, when we see each other, we're going to see our physical images. We know a little bit about each other because of our thoughts and things today. But we're going to see the physical image that we leave here. That's what you will see. You will see me. I hope I'll be in a lot better shape than there. But that's what you're going to see. You're going to see me. When we go to heaven, we're going to see Jesus Christ. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. And in the book of Revelation, John writes what? And there was the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. This is the Aleph and the Tau here. The Alpha and Omega. The Alpha and the Omega is the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. The Aleph and the Tau are the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. He said, I am the beginning and I am the end. Let's think about that. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the result. Dr. J. Lewis Guthrie used to say that in Jesus Christ, the whole universe will be redeemed and bought back and put back into order through the merits of Jesus Christ and Him only. Because He is the first and He is the last. He is the beginning and He is the end of all things. All right. John 1:15. Ewanes martyre. That comes right out of our word martyr. Peri. Autu. Kai. Kek. Kragen. Legon. Hutos. Ain. Ho. Icon. Ho. Opiso. Mu. Ekomenos. M. Prosten. Mu. Gegonen. Hote, protos, mu, ain. And John, he witnesses concerning him. Who's this John? John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a forerunner. Israel always looked for who? Every time they had a Hasidor, every time they had the Passover, what did they look for? They set a place for who? Elijah. Well, John the Baptist is indeed Elijah. He was Elijah, the forerunning of Christ. He was the one that would go before the king, so the king is coming. That's what he was. Now we could go into law. They had, in any land where the king was coming, they sent in a road crew. They had everybody, and not only did they have everybody out there, and they had the roads all fixed, that there better not be a pebble bump or a rut in the road, because the king was coming. But everybody in that area had to be on the side cheering the king as he went by. Okay? John, he's a witness concerning him, literally belonging to him. The witness belonging to him. And he has cried out. He has cried out. Third person singular, second perfect indicative. Perfect tense is what? It's a done deal. Did John introduce the Jews to the Messiah? He did it. All right. We studied the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke this morning. Boy, and we saw that without any doubt of evidence. They knew who Jesus was. Saying, not in a singular mass and present participle acting, saying, this one right here, this one, right here, he kept on being the one said about. The one that was spoken about in the Old Testament. We just read about him in Isaiah, the 44th chapter, didn't we? Did we just read about him? Or 44 and verse 6? He is the only God. There won't be any other God besides him. There is no other God besides Jesus Christ. You're not going to see any other God ever. He is the only God you will ever lay your eyeballs on. That's it. He kept on being the one spoken about. First person singular, second person indicative active. The whole Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, talked about the Messiah in some way or another. Even the hidden things in some of the books. The one after me, behind me, the one following me, coming. Before me, he has become. Before me, he always was. John 1:1, it says, in beginning kept on being the Jehovah. In beginning, he continually existed. There was never a time, ever, in time or eternity that Jehovah didn't exist. People say, how, where did God come from? He was always there. You know, we're infinite. We're finite beings. He's infinite beings. We don't understand that God always was before there was anything else. He was there. I don't know any much about it, but I can just tell you He was there because I believe the Bible. I believe it. Before me He has become, because first of me He kept on being. Before me He kept on being. 116. 116. Hote ek tu pleromatos. How to? He may. Ponte ila bomen. Kai. Karin. Antichristos. Alright. Because out of the fullness, out of the completeness, out of the finished work of Him, we received and we took. First person plural, second aorist, indicative, active. We all received. That comes from lambano. And grace instead of grace. Ante caritos. Grace instead of grace. New grace each day. New grace each day. You're saved by grace, aren't you? You're kept saved by grace. Grace instead of grace. Grace on top of grace. How many have ever been to the pyramids of Egypt where all those stones are stacked one upon the other? There's a limit to them. There's a top of them. I mean, you go up there, at the large pyramid of Giza, there's a million stones in that thing, or more than a million stones. I can't remember now. But that is nothing compared to this grace, stacked upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace. This keeps on going, and it never ends out there in eternity. It just keeps on going. Heights unknown. Stacking one upon the other. 1:17. Hote. Honomos. Dia. Mosios. How do you say Moses in Hebrew?
Moshe.
Moshe. All right. Edoxen. Edote. I'll get it right. Hey. Kadris. Kai. Hey. Aletheia. Dia. Jesu Christu Egenito. I want to get to verse number 18. It's hard to go. These verses are so big. And I really am jumping over it fast. Because the law through Moses. The perception of truth begins with Moses. The perception of right and wrong begins with Moses' law. And it was given. Alright? The idea of right and wrong came through Moses. Thou shalt not, 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 thou shalt not. Alright? It was given the grace and the truth by the agency of Jesus Christ. It came into existence. Alright? Grace and truth. Who is truth and who is grace? Who is love? God. The same word. God is truth, He is grace. He is light, He is love. And He brought Himself into being through all of this. Now the word Jesus Christu Egenito. Jesus comes from the word Yeshua, or Yeshua. Alright? Joshua. Jesus actually is Joshua of the Old Testament. And Joshua means what? Yeshua. What does it mean? Jehovah saves. Jesus' name means Jehovah saves. Think about that. That's what His name was going to be. He was called the term Emmanuel, God with us. And then Christu. Christu means what?
Messiah.
Huh?
Messiah.
The Messiah, the anointed one. The one that would be begotten. The seed of the woman. He's the seed of the woman. In the book of Enoch, it never talks about the Son of Man. It talks about the Son of Woman. Jesus being the Son of Woman. Because He's the Son of Woman. In the book of Daniel, when they saw the Son of Man standing in the furnace with Daniel, what did they see? They saw the Son of God. And they called Him the Son of Man, or the Son of Mankind. But always when Enoch spoke of Jesus Christ to come. He was the son of the woman, the Redeemer, the Goel. All right? 118. 118. I know we're not making a lot of progress here, but I hope that you're unveiling heaven. You walk in the door of heaven and you see who your God is, and you sit down and you commune with Him. Because He is close enough to be touched by your infirmities. He is close enough to put on flesh of mankind that He can redeem us. Theon. Udais. Hirakin. Pokote. Monogenes. Theos. Ho. On. Ace. Ton. Kopon. Tu patros. Ekinos. Ex a ge sato. God, no one He has seen. Never. No man ever walked into heaven. No man ever walked into heaven. The only time God was ever seen is when He walked and revealed Himself to man. Name me the first human man, the human person that ever saw the person of God. Who was the first man to ever see God in His person? Adam. He walked in the garden with Him. Jehovah walked in the garden. The pre-incarnate Christ walked in the garden with Adam. And Eve. Woman got seen too. All right. Now, who was the next person in the Bible that saw God plainly? Enoch. Well, Enoch did, yeah. But who was the next person? Who was the father of all the faith? Go back in this chart here. Who was he? Huh? Abraham. Abraham saw God. Jehovah appeared to him. Jesus, when He was speaking to the Pharisees, they said, "You claim that you're the Son of God, and you say you knew Abraham and all this kind of stuff." He said, "You're not even 50 years old." And what did He tell them? Abraham was joyed to see Me. He joyed to see Me. And of course, that was there up on Moriah. That was up on that rock where He was about to sacrifice Ishmael. Who was it?
Isaac.
What does Ishmael mean? God hears. Isaac, what does Isaac mean? Laughter or pleasure. Okay. Now the Muslims will tell you that Abraham sacrificed Isaac. Or not Isaac, but Ishmael. But he didn't. He was Isaac. Itchik. And he saw him, and God appeared to him. And he said, that's where he's called Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide, or the Lord will see. The word see to it, and provide, and to be seen is all the same word in Hebrew. And God, no one He has seen, no never. The only begotten God, look at that, the only begotten God, the one being, remember, John 1:1, in beginning kept on being the Word, the God. All right? NRK, in beginning kept on being the Jehovah, and the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Kai, ho logos, ein proston theo. He kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because He kept on being God. Jesus never ceased being God when He's on this earth. He was subject to the frailty of human flesh. But He never ceased being God because He was God. What blood did He have in His body? The blood that was spilled on the cross was God's blood. That's God's blood. The only begotten God, the one being, present tense, right then, being into the bosom, that's an inseparable part, the copes, the womb, the hollow, the kolia, the bosom of the Father. That one, He has led Himself out. Now let's read it from King James or some other translation here real quick. John 1:18. Because there's a whole lot of difference between the Greek and what any translation. Yes. Come up here, someone, and read that for me. Quickly. Can someone do that? Please? Yeah. 1:18.
No one has ever seen God, the only
the only one himself God who is in closest fellowship with the Father has made God known.
All right. Now, the only begotten God. The only begotten God, the one being, all right, the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one, it says he did what to him?
Made known.
He made known. What it literally means in Greek is he led himself out. It's not made known, but he led himself out. He is the begotten one. He is the one who shall become. He is Jehovah. It comes from two Greek words, a preposition, ex, and ago, right there. Out, I lead, I bring, I go. And literally it says, that one, he has led himself out for himself. It is third person singular, first aorist. It's aorist, punctiliar, real sharp. At one period of time, at one time, in the history of mankind, the person of God in the womb of Mary broke into existence and fastened himself to this world and became related to it. Punctiliar knife blade action. At that moment, he was Goel, he was Redeemer with mankind. At that time, right here. God became flesh. God opened up heaven and walked out of heaven and walked down to the earth and said, here I am. I love you so much that I am going to live among you and I am going to redeem you and I am going to be killed by these rascals, these religious rats. I'm going to be buried in a grave and I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to be there for 3 days and then I'm going to come up out of that grave forevermore. And I'm going to die for your sins. And I'm going to be raised for your justification, for your dikaiosune. You will become righteous. Dikaiosune. You will become righteous. He is our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. Remember that one? The Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Tsitsikanu. The Lord, our righteousness. He died for our sins, was raised for our justification. Isn't that beautiful? And here in the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John, we have the whole plan of redemption. But it has to go all the way from the book of Genesis. And it doesn't end up there. It goes all the way to the book of Revelation. And everything is tied up with the Gospel of John because John, when he wrote the Gospel of John, he wanted to take us and open the doors of heaven and say, here is your God. This is who Jesus was. He's none other than Jehovah of the Old Testament. He's none other than all of the Jehovah titles said that this is the one that would come to you. And this is the one that would redeem you. That God loved you so much that he's not going to stand way out there and send some angel, send some messenger, and send all these prophets and tell you how to get to him. He's going to go and get you and bring you to him. That's a whole lot of difference, isn't it? He's going to come and get you. He's going to come and get you, and not only that, one of these days, maybe. Maybe in our lifetimes he'll come and he'll shout from heaven and say, come up here. We're not guaranteed that in our life. No one. We don't know when that's going to happen, but he will. Yeah. One of these days, I don't care if they put... there was a guy that was buried in Colorado. I think it was Wild Bill Hickok, if I remember right. Not Wild Bill Hickok, but Buffalo Bill Cody. Buffalo Bill Cody. And they took him over there and buried him. And because they didn't want him to move him, they buried him real deep and then they poured cement. Like 100 tons of cement all over the top of his grave so they couldn't move him. Now, if he was saved, man, that cement's not going to do any, it's not going to do any good when the Lord calls him forward. I don't care. All of these graveyards out here where all saved people are necropolises. This is where dead people live. Necropolis. But one of these days, they're going to be all evacuated. And this is the person that's going to shout and bring them out of the grave. And we know that from when Lazarus died in the Bible. And they buried him in the grave. And how long was he in the grave? Yeah. more than plenty of time for him to begin to rot. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he resurrected Lazarus. Lazarus came forth. Just like he can call us. Maybe we'll hear all of our names. Maybe we'll hear the name that we're going to be known for or by for all eternity. What is going to be your name? You're going to have a new name, aren't it? Is it going to be Faithful One or Lazy Bones? What's it going to be? What are you going to be known by forever? Whatever you do in this world, that's what you're going to be known by. You're going to have a new name. God bless you. Thank you for your attention tonight. And Brandy, thank you for being here. I hope you enjoyed the class. I hope you come back. Don't be afraid of the Greek and don't be afraid of the Hebrew. It's just a tool we use. I'm an American Indian. And when I was young, I wanted to learn Indian language. I learned Lakota pretty good. I never learned Chickasaw that my grandmother spoke or anything. But when I was saved, and I really wanted to know what the Bible said, I said, well, I learned that the Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew. So I said, if I really want to know what it says, I better do those things. Otherwise, I would never have understood or wanted to study Greek or Hebrew. But the Bible is a real good instigator to learn. So, go out and do something eternal. Brother Roger, would you mind coming up there and dismissing some prayer? Do you have any questions before? Cindy, you have any questions? Mike, you got a question. Hold on just a minute. Mike. That's all right, Mike. Feel free.
Here's a verse I heard this morning. I'm sorry, I'm not hearing good out of my breath here.
Okay, John 12 and what?
I'm sorry, David.
John
12, verse 25.
Okay. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. He who loves the things of life, the things of the world, what keeps people from being saved usually? The material world. It is harder for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God than what? The camel to go through an eye of a sewing needle. In other words, it's impossible. It's real hard for rich people to get saved. Why? They don't want to give up what they have. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. And he said, what may I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what have you done? I kept all the laws and everything. He said, one thing you lack. You love the world. Give everything, give it away to poor, and come and follow me. And what did he do? He went the other way. That happened. So, what is he doing here? He who loves the things of this world, and he who hates the things of this life or this world, he shall keep it to eternal life. I just said before, go out and do what? Something eternal that you can take with you. There is nothing in this world that you can take with you that's material. Only what you spiritually do. Those that you teach, those that you lead to the Lord, those that you're kind to, those that you show Jesus to, those things you will take with you. Those things you'll take with you.
What is the word hate?
Hate?
Yeah,
despise.
And what are they hating?
They're hating the things of the world. Wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to go out and work and you have a shelter over your head and you have to go out and you struggle and you take care of yourself and everything else? Boy, if you could just be doing spiritual things all the time. And everybody ought to do a job that they like to do. Roger, did you like your job that you did before? You liked that? Okay? You ought to like your job. You ought to enjoy your job. That's what the Bible says. What you like to do, go do it with all your mind. But how about if you had enough wealth to where you didn't have to do those things, that you could just do all spiritual things? But the physical things that I do, I like to work. But it interferes with my study and my writing and stuff so much. And I just get upset with it sometimes when something breaks down or something goes wrong and I have to quit this to go do that thing over there, which doesn't mean anything. Nothing you have in this world you're going to pass on to anybody else, really. You can pass it on, but in the end it's going to go poof. It's going to be gone. Down the road from me was a beautiful mansion down there. And it was an Italian family. I can't even think of the name now of the family. But it was a big two-story, actually three-story house. It was down on Gosford Road in Panama almost. You see, that thing was a mansion. And that was a woman's palace. She just loved that. That was her heaven. And they took her back there until she totally went blind. And she died. And not too long after she died, they were going to move that house. I was going to sell 10 acres, and the guy was going to buy that house and put it on the 10 acres. And that house caught on fire and burned up. Poof! And everybody's dreams went away. But that's what's going to happen with everything in this world. No matter what you have, it's going to go poof. Poof. And it's all gone. All right? Any other questions? Nothing? Right.
You said when we get to heaven, we're not going to see the Father. We're only going to see Jesus because he was the only flesh. But then you also said that God put his blood into the womb and that. So I'm confused between.
Okay, Jehovah.
Obviously, God pre-existed, Jesus pre-existed in that realm, but.
The physical God that you will see is Jesus. He is. We are triune. We are triune. We are body, we are mind or soul, and we are spirit. And God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What do you see? You see the physical form. The physical form of God is Jesus Christ or the pre-incarnate Christ. That's what you're going to see. That's it.
So then did Jesus, for lack of a better phrase, Jesus put his own blood into himself to birth himself?
That's right. He let himself out. He let himself out. That ekenago. He led himself out of eternity into space and time. He broke into space and time right then at that point of time. That's when it happened. God brought himself into that point of time. Anything else? Ready to go? Go out and do something eternal. Roger. Don't be afraid to ask questions. I'll try to answer them for you.
Father, thank you for bringing us together one more time and the opportunity to study your word. And thank you for all the effort that Jim puts into researching and presenting it in such a way that I can understand and other people can understand. Please guide us and direct us in our understanding and our application in our lives. Thank you for all you've done for us. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.